behind the okay. What is up, my fellow hustlers? Welcome to another episode of Be Real Behind the Grind. I am your host, Bessie D. Smith. Very excited to be here with you for a new episode. This episode, in particular, is specifically for the ideas people, the creative brains behind every operation. If you think of six impossible things before breakfast, then this episode is for you. We're going to be chatting with my guest about how to take the seed of an idea and nurture it into an actual executed plan. And my guest is no stranger to harvesting ideas. We'll be chatting with her about some of her most recent projects, as well as what it's like to move outside of your comfort zone, both mentally and geographically, and how to build a community once you are there. Now, I'm going to be real with y'all and give you a little heads up. The audio on this episode is a little wonky. We recorded at a restaurant. We were both heavily on our grind, and we had to meet up at a middle point. And so you can hear little pieces of our atmosphere. But if anything, it provides a little ambiance to our conversation, to our little chit-chat. So bear with us. I'm sure you will still get some great content out of it. So, without any further ado, here is my conversation with the Queen of Connections, Ms. Tori Rogers.
I feel like a lot of us have ideas, and like I have like 1,000 ideas like a second. But I've tried to get better about like prioritizing things that can actually be tangible or have action items and things that have potential. Yeah, that's kind of how I've been doing it. So there's a book that I read, and it kind of talks you through how to be a one-minute manager or something like that, one-minute priority. So, I can't remember the name of it. But basically, the book teaches you how to take things that you have to do or that you're thinking about doing and, like, ranging them from, like, is it, like, a yes, like, it's a priority? Is it something that you can benefit from? And then, like, you just kind of, like, rate it. And if it is something that is, like, going to help you and it's something that you want to be doing, then like obviously do it. If it's something that is like a deadline and needs to be done, like just do it, get it out of the way, and then like also make sure you come back to those things that you do want to do, but like you have to like set priorities. And I have kind of struggled with that. So like sometimes like with work, I am not good at like trying to like do the processy stuff in house that we have to do, because it's not something that I'm like passionate about. Like I don't care about realistically like working.
yeah.
Like I want to just be doing things that like I'm passionate about, that I'm having fun with. And to be honest, like managing the group and coming up with events and things is actually more work than what I do in my 9-to-5.
Okay.
So it's not about like not wanting to work. It's just that like if I'm going to be doing something, like I should be really wanting to do it.
Yeah.
And so that's just kind of like I've started to like that's kind of how I've like been prioritizing things lately.
Yeah.
Which can then also mean that like other things could like work, basically can like okay, like
sure,
I'll do it.
Yeah. Sure. But you know, as we work on things, as we hone our interests and our passions, we kind of prioritize, like you
exactly.
said, what is important to us or what we can see ourselves sustaining for a long period of time, and then the other things drift away, and then the other jobs, and we
and we're just doing it. It's like we're doing it, but we're not like putting our all into it. So I guess that's how I would say it's like the way that I organize it is like, what are the things that I really want to be prioritizing right now and putting my all into, and then like what are the things that like I'm going to get done, but I'm not like, it's not a passion project, it's not something that I see that's going to take me somewhere long term.
So when you, during the day, like do you spend most of your free thinking space, time, energy, do you spend it more on your 9-to-5 quote-unquote work job, or do you spend it on planning and conceptualizing and thinking up ideas for other things, for other passions?
Yeah, conceptualizing and thinking of things and like reading something that, like today, so before I came here today, like I just came from the office.
Yeah.
But I also was like listening to podcasts and things about like getting investments and like getting into the tech industry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I feel like that's something that, like, we should all be doing is, like, continuing to, like, be true to yourself and making sure that, like, what you are passionate about, even if you're not, like, fully, like, all the way in it, like, making sure that you are still, like, trying to learn things or, like, getting to know, you know, meeting people in that industry, just, like, somehow, like, feeding into yourself and investing that time so that you can, like, build into that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, oh, I completely understand. I mean, the free time is never free time. No. I always say waiting is never waiting, you know, when you're always working on yourself, there's always more hustling to be had, but there's ways to do that in which you're not actively exhausting yourself, for lack of a better phrase, like, you know, as far as, like, listening to podcasts and reading books, you've mentioned both of those, and as far as building skills and honing in skills that you already have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want something, like, you can have it. It may seem, like, out of reach because, like, it's never been done. So, like, of course it's going to seem impossible because it's, like, you've never even seen it. Like, you don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
So it feels, like, untouchable. And I think that's, what, like, when things feel, like, untouchable, sometimes we look at it like it's unattainable, but it's really not. You just have to, like, shape your mind to say, like, I can't get this. Like, it, like, there are infinite amount of possibilities in this world. Like,
yes,
literally so many opportunities.
Yes.
Even if something doesn't work out, like, there's an opportunity literally, like, staring right there in front of you.
Yes.
Know? So
I love that you said that, because that's basically exactly what you did with the Bangkok Black Meetup,
yep,
and also the events, like, through that group that you've been planning and hosting and things. Scaling back to the roots, the roots of establishing something like that. What were the thoughts going through your head as far as, were there any doubts or worries that you had as far as, you know, starting this group?
No, because I didn't start it with, like, a, like, I'm doing this because, like, I want to reach 300 people and I'm going to turn this into a business. Like, I honestly just started it because I wanted to connect. And so everything that I did was just, like, naturally, like, genuinely, this is who I am. And, like, I really wanted to connect things. And, like, I started it because I just wanted to have, like, at least, like, 3 Black friends. Like, I always say that. And, like, I feel like it's going to start sounding corny as I continue to, like, talk about it.
No.
But, like, honestly, I literally just wanted to have 3 Black friends. So, when I came over here, I was like, I am going to give my all into this experience. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that, like, I take advantage of the opportunity. I'm not going to get over there and, like, just kind of, like, stay in my house or, like, not go out and get out there. Like, I'm going to get there. I'm going to meet people. I'm going to enjoy it. Like, I'm about to, like, live my best life.
Thrive.
Exactly. Thrive. Literally.
Yes.
And, like, I just basically wanted to, like, build a network. So before I even moved here, I reached out to the education company that I had, like, I got the teacher role at. So before I moved here, I did an interview, got a role for a teacher. I was like, okay, who can I talk to so I can, like, connect with other people who live there already or they're coming? So they gave me, like, 5 emails. I emailed all these people, like, connected with them. I was like, okay, that's great. I need more people, though. Like, I was like, okay, look, who's coming, though? Where are those people at? And then I was like, they didn't have a social media group or anything. So I'm like, we need to. I basically emailed them and said, I'm going to set up this Facebook group. All I need you to do is, like, send out an email asking people to add themselves.
Yes.
And I just pretty much told them, like, the benefit is that you all are going to get a group of engaged newcomers, new employees that are coming over, and they'll stay, like, focused on the actual move and connecting, and, like, we're building these friendships before we even, like, get there.
Yes.
And that's going to, like, reduce the amount of dropout rate that you could possibly face.
Yes.
And I was like, for me, I just want to, like, meet more people who are coming. Like, I don't know what to pack. I don't know who's going. Like, I don't know anything, but I know I need to, like, have some sort of connection. And, like, I really am, like, I thrive off of relationships and, like, knowing people and, you know, just connecting. So, created that, and we just basically, like, started chatting and stuff. So that was, like, all teachers from all over the world.
Yeah.
Not just Black people. And then I also created a meetup group, like, while I was at home. So I actually created the meetup group in Houston.
Before you came.
Yeah. So I just, like, put it online, and then when I got here, like, literally as soon as I stepped off of the plane, I dropped off my bag, took a shower, and, like, I went out and was, like, already meeting people, like, literally that same day because we had already, like, set up these meetings and stuff with that group. So when I first moved here, I was doing, like, a lot of, like, kind of connecting all the teachers and, like, hey, let's go get dinner. Let's do this weekend. Let's go on a trip. And so it was, like, I kind of was already, like, building, like, network that way.
Yeah.
And then I was, like, okay, I'm going to host this meetup group to, like, bring black people. Like, I kind of, like, I left it up for a bit. Maybe, like, I moved here at the end of April. I think I did like first meetup in like June, just like to let it kind of build up with members. And then like, I just put one at like a meet and greet, like I just put it on there and like a few people registered. And like, I went to this restaurant. I had to like research restaurants. I didn't know anything about Bangkok. I actually didn't even live like in the city. I didn't even live like on the train. So I was just like Googling stuff and like, I threw it up there. Then I came to the restaurant and there was like a small group of people there. And I was just like, oh,
They showed up.
Yeah, exactly. I was
they
like, okay.
Came through.
Yeah, I was like, this is cool. Like, you know, and then like they were telling me about their experiences, how long they had been there. They were like, how long have you been here? I was like, oh, just got here in like April. They were like, we figured that you were like new because like you want to like build these connections and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, yep.
Is that the sign of somebody who's like brand new? Somebody who just wants to, because I got a lot of the same, like similar responses, like, oh, you've been busy, you know, connecting and meeting so many people.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. It's like, it's a hunger.
I think so. You know? When you first come.
When you first show up anywhere.
Exactly.
You know?
That's true.
You want to build that community, establish that community, especially as black people, because, and I love that this is one of the most popular pop-in questions in the group chat is like, where to get my hair done, where to buy hair products, like who can help me with this. You need that as somebody who is new to an area.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have that community who you can rely on for assistance and just for aid and support.
Right.
And so it benefits more than just personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that aids other people. It helps so many other people.
Yes.
I love that it grew in that way.
I know,
in such a way.
So beautiful. It's like, I feel like for me, I love seeing the connections that people are making. And, you know, kind of like what you were saying, I do think at the core, it enhances someone's experience. So even if you're coming over just for like 1 week and then you reach out like, hey, I'm going to be in Bangkok for 1 week. Would love to like meet up with other black people. Would love to like, I need to know like, where can I do this? Where can I go eat at? Where can I go get a haircut? You have this community and this space to get knowledge and information and resources and connections to other people.
Yes.
And like, honestly, that's all people want. Like,
we
honestly just want connections. Like, look at Facebook. Like, Facebook is awesome because it's accessible because like, you're literally just able to get connections. Like, we all want to be connected. And I mean, even like Airbnb, like you're connecting people. Like, one person has something to offer. Here's someone that like needs something. Okay, boom, we're connecting you guys. Like,
yes.
It's literally just like all about connections and information. People want information, and information comes in different ways. And so I think basically now it has become like, okay, this is something that is actually needed. Like, at first it was just like, okay, here's like another question about hair. Here you go. Like, I know who to send you to, and I want to send you. Like, I want to be resourceful for you because, like, you know, like it's kind of like those things. Just like pass it on.
The first event that I attended after I moved here, where I realized like the best of the community was Afro Magic. Can you tell me a little bit about how that came about? What seed was planted for that?
Yeah. So it's really funny. Okay, so that came about, like, we literally did that in like 2 weeks. And
2 weeks?
2 weeks. Yeah, two
wow.
weeks. So, and I was like away in America for a while like planning it. But so basically, like, I went to a music production at Lonnie Studio. So at a local black studio that Norwood, a new person that had just moved here, another black guy, like, he's an actual artist, and he's, like, performed. Anyway, so, like, I went to the event to see him, and at the event, there was Roland, who is the owner, creator, president of Asia Africa Foundation, which is, like, a foundation to connect Asia and Africa, like, business, culture, all that, legally, and then I have a friend named Akwese who knows Lonnie, and Akwese is, she builds like leadership and coaching programs and works with different orgs and like nonprofits, and she goes to Africa a lot to like help them build there and things like that. So Lonnie had wanted Roland and Akwese to meet. So we're like all sitting at this table at this musical performance, and basically they're like, oh, wait, so what do you do? Oh my God, like, that sounds like something that I do. And they're like, I'm sitting here like, and you know, I have the audience. So like, it's like, they're sitting there realizing like how they're aligned with their orgs and their purpose and what they're trying to work on individually and how it aligns. And they were like, oh. So Lonnie's like, I wanted you guys to meet, like, you need to meet. And then like, you know, so we like all talk about what we're doing, and we're like, we need to have a meeting. We need to like, let's do something together. So I mentioned to them that like Teray does a lot for the Black community as well. So she does a lot of going to the immigration detention center here and just trying to make sure that like families that are being detained have like items and toiletries and food. And so I was just like, we should like all just connect this. And realistically, what I have learned is that if you really want something to happen, like, you have to put forth energy.
Yes.
And I think that, like, that is one thing that I think that, A, people can see about me, but also I've noticed that not a lot of people have that, right? So a lot of people can, like, talk about stuff, but then, like, there's no actual, like, doing. And that's kind of what was about to happen with this, to be quite frank. So, like, I was like, no, like, let's meet. So, like, I'm messaging everyone separately, like, okay, when can you meet? When can you meet?
Yeah.
Let's make this happen. And then we, like, actually met. And so at first it was just, like, a place that Roland and I, we talked. We just kind of, like, you know, just talking about different things and, like, you know, how can we collaborate? And what would that look like? You know, so, like, for me, it's, like, I have a community here. And anytime someone, like, comes to me and they have an idea about an event, it, like, it's great because, obviously, like, having a community and an audience, like, you want to keep up engagement. So if someone is coming to me with an idea about what we can do, that obviously is adding value to my group, and it's like a collaboration in a way that, like, I'm adding value to my group, but like I'm partnering, so I'm not doing like as much of like the background, because planning something, it takes a lot.
Yes.
Even a dinner. Yes. It's a lot of work.
So many schedules to organize.
So many people that have all these individual preferences and just different things. Not even just like about the people, but just like the logistics and the venues. And we're in Thailand, like language barriers, so many different things. So it was like, you know, I'm sitting here with like, I have the audience, obviously, because like, who are you guys going to invite to the event? A. And then like, B, I want to give something to my community. They want to just like spread the word, and like, you know, like, we all believe like Black people is like, we're beautiful. We should be connecting. We should be collaborating. We just wanted to basically, it was like a conversation about how do we like connect people. So from Roland's perspective, he was just trying to make sure that like the community was connected in all fronts. So not just like Black Americans, Black Europeans, but like also like African countries and other countries that are outside of Africa, but just, you know, like, how can we make sure that we're like all cohesive and collaborating, and just like, we know that we're out here trying to build together.
Yes.
You know, like, together we can go much farther. And so I was like, yes, like, I totally support that, like, let's do it. So, you know, we had a meeting, we had a few notes, and then I mentioned to Ray again, and then I took like an action item of talking to Ray about like, hey, we're thinking about doing an event, and we would want to have like a piece of it where people were collecting donations to kind of give back. So then we just like met up with Ray the second time, like the following week. I also was like, when can you meet, let's do this, you know. And then it just kind of became like a planning thing, like we just started planning it out, and we decided that we wanted to do it like shortly, like pretty quickly. We didn't want to really like drag it out. It was like the end of the year. We knew people were going to start leaving to go on holiday and things like that. So, I was just like, okay, well, it needs to be in 2 weeks and we can pull it off. And we basically did. So I think in that scenario, it was like, Teray obviously has like a lot of connections to artists. So as an artist herself, so she was reaching out to the artists and getting people to sign up to, you know, be a part of the performances. She was also like reaching out to people connected to IDC to make sure that we would have like representatives there, like families that we could like kind of bring and help them, like let them have a good time and donating to them. Akwaese is like very good at like building things together and like bridging things and making things happen. She's so good at that. And then like Roland had his piece with like trying to connect like foundation, and we were trying to get like ambassadors and things like that to attend the event and like sponsorships and stuff. So it's just kind of like, we're just like, let's do it. Here's what everyone needs to do. And we really like stayed in contact with like Google Drive and kind of like updating each other often. Like we had a line chat where we just like updating each other, like here's what's going on, creating things and just making it happen, honestly. And then like building up like everyone's involvement by like, you know, talking to the group about it, and or like our audiences in a way about it is like, let's come together, like let's heal together, let's like we're magical, let's celebrate each other. And that way it's like people are interested in, you know, being involved in that. So yeah, so that's how that happened.
I mean, that's a perfect example of using several people, a community of people, for their strengths, mm-hmm. what they're passionate about, what they're most interested in, what they have the most experience with, right. and using that to build for better.
Right.
You know? And that's incredible. Mm-hmm. And it connected so many people.
Yes.
And like you said earlier, you know, people who were even just coming through town, or they had just moved, or mm-hmm. even they're about to leave, like that's still, you're able to connect with so many people, and then those connections last.
Exactly.
Those, you know, building connections that last past one singular event, mm-hmm. or one moment, one networking opportunity.
Exactly.
And that's, you can see that so much in the community here, both with Afromagic. From that, we had our first town hall meeting. We've had several networking events,
yep.
And we have a great networking event coming up
yes.
very soon as well. And so what's the future as far as what else do you want to accomplish? What are you building towards? What are you manifesting now?
So, I really want to take it and scale it. Like, I want to connect more people than just in Bangkok. I want us to like share our stories. I want to show the world that like we're out here doing things. There is like an opportunity for, you know, like if I think about what does it mean to be like Black living overseas, and like the experience of like meeting people from around the world and like experiencing other cultures, it's just like it's an opportunity for us to grow. It's an opportunity for us to just like share who we are with other people in the world, to like, you know, it's just an opportunity to like learn things and grow, and like, I said grow already, but like, you know, like just to become better, like as a whole. And so I just want to like continue to like facilitate that and like foster those type of like connections, and I really, really do like enjoy building relationships and connecting people, and I love to see when people have like built their little like circles and their pockets, and like they found their tribe within the tribe,
yeah.
and they found resources, and they found like collaborations, and they're doing like, they found like business opportunities. And so I want to build something, a platform that allows that to be scalable outside of just Bangkok.
Mm.
And then as far as like sharing the stories, we're in the process of filming, like just filming the stories of what that journey looks like for Black people to move overseas, to like uproot from what we know. Because, you know, like as the Black community, the way that we're like our upbringing and stuff is very unique. I mean, obviously like every group is, but the way that we come up and like what we learn and like how we are is like, it's just, sometimes like we definitely have like a way to go, like as a whole, like we have an opportunity to grow together and to learn more. And so I want to showcase the different like narratives and things that are happening, and showing other people that like it is possible. Like you don't have to like move to Thailand, but it's possible for you to like go after what you want. It's possible. There are things out here that are different. There are like different things to learn, different things to experience, and like I want to show that, because sometimes it's like, you know, like the little Black girl that is going to school every day and just like, you know, all she sees is like what she sees every day in her neighborhood is like, doesn't even know what is possible. And like, it, I think it's just important for people to see people that look like you doing their thing, you know?
Yeah.
And like what that looks like. So the filming is going to, I hope, help with that, like to put those stories out and to show and to create this, to open up people's minds about what is possible and to like help them believe that like we can be more and do more and like we can do whatever we want and like go as far as we want.
Yes. Well, and I, especially what you said about being raised is, and it happens with lots of other people as well,
exactly.
But specifically in Black communities and within Black families,
mm-hmm.
I think it's, we're raised a little bit from fear, or at least caution.
Yes.
You know, you have to be careful.
Yep.
You have to be careful where you go. You have to be careful who you associate yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful even, you know, what your line of business is.
Yep.
You're always being cautious and trying to be proactive and just trying to guard yourself and
mm-hmm.
what is close to you.
Right.
And in some ways, in many ways, that can get misconstrued into thinking that in order to be cautious, in order to protect yourself, you can't travel outside of your comfort zone.
Right.
Or you can't travel outside of what is familiar to you or what is the parts of your world that have already been established.
Uh-huh.
And it is a great leap and a bound to make that
mm-hmm.
transition, to make that leap and to have a community once again that can show you that it can be done, to have proof
exactly.
for that little girl, you know, in the Midwest who
right.
is, you know, maybe grew up in a rural community or her little community of Black people or
mm-hmm.
white people is all she's ever known.
Right.
You know, to show her, to show him, to show them that there is a chance, there's opportunity
yes.
elsewhere.
Exactly.
There's a whole world waiting to be explored.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and I think like this, every person's story is different. So like, for example, you know, like Bianca in the group, she was like a teacher on the path to become a principal. And like, she's like, no, like I want to pursue my singing career.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is okay.
Yeah.
And I think that like, especially like, not even just like Black people, but our like society as a whole is like, okay, go to college, get your degree, go and find a job and stay in the job at least 2 or 3 years, and you need to have this on your resume, and you need to do this, and you should have like a house by this date and like kids. And it's just like, no, like you don't have to do any of that. Like you can be happy doing with whatever you want to
yes.
do.
That
and
is one perspective. That's
yes,
one life. That's
exactly,
a life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, and like that is the beauty of life, is that there are so many ways to experience it and to be yourself and to do whatever you want to do. And it's not going to always be easy. It doesn't mean that's like, oh, like, okay, like I don't want to work. So, you know, like I don't want to be working at this 9-to-5. What can I do? I just feel like we can do whatever we want to do. Whatever you put our minds to, we can achieve.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Do you think that staying in the U.S. would have led you to some semblance of where you are now as far as your worldview or as far as what you want to accomplish in your own, as far as building your own empire? Like, do you think your empire would have looked different if you would have stayed in Houston?
Maybe. I mean, you know, like, at the core, you know, like, this is, like, I'm connecting, like, travelers now. So, it's, like, the whole, it's like, the travel industry within itself is, like, a whole thing.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't have gotten into that because I wasn't even really, like, traveling outside of the States. And I was only traveling, like, if I have to do it for work or, like, little road trips and stuff. So, even that, like, most Black people do not travel. We don't even have passports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
like,
that
is, like, a whole different thing.
Which, come on, Melanin, get your passport.
Exactly.
I mean, me too. I got my passport to come here.
Really?
Yes, darling, yes. So, I feel that on a level.
Yeah, it happens. And, like, I had to get my passport for work, and, like, that was just to go to Canada. You know what I mean? And it's, like,
we
that's not something that we are doing. Like, that's just not what we're, like, learning and, like, doing in our community.
It's not what we're learning. It's not what we're taught. Yes.
Exactly. And so, but like I've always been into like connecting and like building and like meeting new people. But I was already a part of an organization where I was like connecting people who were just moving to Houston, and like that's what I was doing. So like I was like passionate about doing like events and like how can I like, so basically I was living in Dallas. I enjoyed the city, but like I wasn't like growing. And I actually like, now that I look that I've moved here, I have a friend, a travel blogger, who like I had a conversation with when I was thinking about like leaving Bangkok, because I've been here like almost 2 years now, and it's like, okay, like what is the plan? What's gonna happen? So my friend, this travel blogger, you know, he and I were speaking about what a city should be doing for you when you're living there, and it should be doing one of two things. So like, one, it should be helping you grow, or two, allowing you to thrive. And so when he said that, I was like, that is actually like really true. And I think like we do it anyway, like we're naturally already doing that anyway, but now like I am very like specific about stuff. Like even if I'm meeting someone, I'm like, okay, like what is this gonna help me with? Like is this benefiting me in any kind of way? And like beyond just like, oh, we're having a drink, I really like fashion, media. I was looking at getting into like the music industry. I love events, I love festivals. And so I would have just been doing something like that and like continuing to grow and build and communicate and do marketing and PR, be in the media, connect people. Like that's always going to be something that I'm doing, is like connection in some type of way.
Yeah. Connection. I like that. Like yeah. Human, what do you say? You're a human connector or?
Yeah, I just feel like I'm a connector.
Connector. Yeah. I love that. I say like I'm addicted to the human connection.
Yeah.
Like I like it. I just seeing different ways that people can ebb and flow together.
Yes.
And it varies with degree. Not everybody has to be your bestie.
No, they don't.
Not everybody has to be your best friend. Not everybody has to be your day one. You don't need to tell people everything.
No.
You know, like you don't have to disclose your business or your plans
right.
to everybody.
Right.
That it's all about what you manifest for yourself. And then from that, who can help that? And also from your skill set, who you can help.
Exactly. And yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's crucial in building a community, as you have done.
Yep.
Do you have any advice for anybody who is looking to manifest their own community in a bigger city or within their smaller communities?
Yeah, so if I were to think about how communities grow and what attracts people to them, is obviously there has to be some type of value. And I think that, like, you know, at the core, everyone knows that you have to be offering some type of value. But I think that building a community means that you're offering, like, information, or you're offering some type of resource, some type of whatever that person is, like, missing. So knowing who your target audience is and, like, actually building that buyer persona. So, like, my persona is a black person. It doesn't matter if they're, like, younger or older. But even then, I could technically break down the different personas that I have for my group. And so, like, one specific persona, like, let's just say it's, like, a middle-aged black person who is looking for something new, a new lifestyle. They know who they are, but they're ready to explore and, like, do something different. And so they're moving overseas. They are eager. They love to connect. They know who they are. They're confident. And they just want information and connection. They want to move into a new city and like learn all that they can. And also if they have a question or that they're looking for like that resource, especially in a city where like the language barrier exists, they're looking for information. And so I think it's like figuring out who your target audience is, what they're looking for, so like what their pain points are. And here, like, I guess the beautiful thing about the community that I have built is that like it almost has become just like this data set of like, now I feel like I could go into a meeting and say like, I know what black expats and travelers as a whole are like looking for, and I know what their pain points are, what their challenges are, what helps them, what is like, you know, how do I solve that problem. Like I know what that is, and I know what like people are looking for. And obviously just like we all know that like human connections is like, people thrive off of connections. We survive off of like knowing people and feeling love and feeling like we belong. And like, you know, I learned all that stuff anyway in like college and psychology majors and classes, and then like the advertising classes that I took. So it's just like, it's actually been like really cool to see like all kind of connect and like it naturally just like connected. And I think that also, if anyone else is like trying to build a community, I think that what you'll see is like, if it just becomes something that people are naturally like, ooh, like, you know what, like, are you in this group? Like, you need to join this group. Like, oh, you're new. Like, I've never seen you. Like, are you in the group? Are you in the group? And like, it's actually like really, really rewarding when we have like an event, or like we may be out having like tacos, and then like I see someone like go to another table where there's like a black person that's just like, yes, you know, at the restaurant. They're like, hey, like, do you live here? Like,
okay, yeah, well, exactly, join the group. Exactly, yeah, you know, exactly.
You know, like, join the group. And so, exactly. I think that like anyone that's trying to build a community should be looking for those type of, like, that type of thing where it's like shared interest that people organically want to talk about.
Yeah.
And this kind of stuff is in like all kind of business books. And like, as I've been reading these books, I'm like, this shit literally just manifested like that. Like,
you are manifesting. Yeah. It. Yes.
Like,
yes,
it literally just happened like, yes, that. Like, we all have shared interests. We all have like the same pain point. We all want like connection and information. And it literally just organically happened. And it became like a network effect. And it's like, it's just crazy. And it's just like the things that can happen when you know like who your target is, what the pain points are, how you're going to come in and like solve those pain points. And so I feel like another thing that anyone that's looking to build a community should also be focused on is, once you get people into this community, how do you keep them happy? How do you make them feel like they're getting some type of value? And honestly, like, early on, I was okay with anyone who said, Tori, I do not like group chats. I do not like groups. That is not my thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That means you're just not a part of my target audience, and that is okay.
Yeah.
I do not feel any type of way around that. Like, that is okay. And so I think it's like also knowing, like knowing who you're like going after, and then like figuring out how you're offering value to that person, and like anyone else that's like not feeling it, like, they can just go. Like, don't try to target to that person. It's like, like, I'm just like, okay. Like, I have friends who, like, I don't even invite to my events that are black. But it's like, it's okay. Like, I will hang with you separately. This is not your thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to waste energy and efforts to try to bring you into something that, like, is not aligned with what you're doing. And yeah, you're not aligned with, like, my business model, technically, at this point. So it's like, that's kind of okay, too. So, like, know who they are and who they aren't. And, like, to be okay with that and, like, move accordingly.
Yeah.
You know, so when people leave, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I would rather have like a more accurate representation and people who are more engaged and feeling the value. And because as a community, like with this type of thing, it's like really, it has to be it's also the people that keep things going and keep things growing and keep things like strong and like that communication and the yeah, value as well. So if people are like unhappy with it, then they just gotta go.
Yeah, yeah. But you know? I mean, and the people who are happy, they stay, and
exactly,
they invite more people.
Yeah.
Yes, they invite more people.
Yeah.
They spread the good word.
Exactly.
You know, I can't wait to. I mean, I already do talk about this incredible black community that I found in Thailand. I tell my friends, I can't wait to spread that to people when I
yeah,
get back, and share my experiences with everybody,
yeah,
because it's important to spread the word of
exactly,
people who are thriving
exactly,
in all sorts of different places, down different life journeys, you
right,
know, people who are building empires everywhere.
Exactly.
So it's beautiful.
How did you find the group?
Coco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Coco.
How did you run into Coco?
I was online looking for live music venues that
mm-hmm,
had like open mics or just places where I could go to meet performers and musicians.
Yep.
And this was 2 weeks before I moved here. I saw her name and I was like, a black queen.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh.
Yes.
And so I followed the trail to her bio and then to her website and then to like her contact information. I emailed her. I said that I was moving in 2 weeks. She said, download Line, one,
uh-huh.
download Line, which is like WhatsApp,
uh-huh.
And then let me know when you get here, and we'll get together. And so I got here, I went to go visit her at one of her gigs, and she added me to the group. She told me about where to go see people
yep,
who I could connect with, musicians and artists, and from there, it's literally history.
Yeah.
I just thrived from there on up.
Yeah,
like, it
nice,
literally, that was the catalyst.
Exactly.
And it was beautiful. And to hear about other people's stories, both about, like, I know several people who have also been connected to the group through Coco herself. Yep. Shout out to Coco.
Come on,
like,
Coco.
But also, you know, people who are, it's funny, you know, we all know how group chats work and, you know, how you can add and take away people, or people can leave the group, you know, come and go as they please. And so there will sometimes be, I'll get a notification saying that someone joined the meetup or somebody invited somebody to join the group chat. And it'll be like 2:30 in the afternoon, and I'll be like, I know they just saw that person on the street and asked them if they were part of the group chat, you know.
Right.
I ran into someone from the group chat while boarding an airplane back to Bangkok once from Vietnam, and we saw each other, and we were like, how are you? You know, are you going for business or pleasure? Like, are you going for vacation? Like, what's your story? Mm-hmm. And then it was like, are you in the group chat? And then it was like, wait, weren't you at that one event? And it turned out it was like the first Taco Tuesday that I went to. We met very briefly there and then reconnected once again.
Nice.
And just the ebb and flow.
Oh,
the
ebb
and flow of human connection.
Yes.
It's so, so beautiful.
Yes.
And so much, I mean, so much gratitude goes to you, Tori, for building that community and for making those connections and inspiring people to make their own connections, inspiring people to thrive. It's so important. It's beautiful.
It is. You have to be like a leader almost. So I think that like the fact that like you build your culture. So you build like a culture of like, this is what we're about, this is what we're accepting, this is what like, this is what I'm doing, this is like what I'm trying to like, I want other people to see and do. So it's like, I'm always talking about like connect, go collaborate. And like, I truly mean that.
Yes.
Like, it's only going to benefit us as a whole if other people are collaborating.
Yes.
I get no type of like, I don't, like, if I see people who are like, they're meeting and then like they do like a business connection, I'm like, boom, that's perfect. I don't, like, it's not about competition. It's not about jealousy. It's like, you doing that just makes us stronger as a whole. And so I think it is about like you just made me think about when you said that, it's like the reality is that like building a community means that you also have to like step up as a leader and like kind of like create this environment and this space and like also encouraging and empowering other people to also like go out and be their greater selves too.
Hold space.
Yes, exactly.
It takes a village.
Yes.
It takes a village. Engage.
Yes.
Engage
exactly.
with other people. Yes. Find
exactly.
your niche.
Yes.
Find your niche and rock it.
Exactly.
Like, rock it. Work that niche.
Let's be real, y'all. Nowadays, everybody's trying to be in the room where it happens. Trying to get their foot in the door. Be at the top of the list. Put some skin in the game. Be involved in some way to whatever is the newest, greatest thing happening. And in a world where being a forward thinker is the new standard, one has to consider the qualities, the skill set that one has to offer to whatever game they're trying to play. And sometimes the best, maybe the only way to show what you got is by making your own shit. When you create opportunities for yourself and for the community that you are trying to serve, people will see what you value and what you have to offer, and they will respond accordingly. As Tori said, you have to put energy out in the universe in order to receive it in kind. So, for those of you who are in the process of planting a seed for an idea that you have, whether it be an event, a music project, an art project, a collaboration project, a networking idea, whatever you are trying to, whatever tangible thing you are trying to manifest, start by considering these questions. Who are you trying to serve? What are you trying to offer? How will your own skills be contributed to this project? And what are some areas in which you know you will need help from other sources? It takes a community to build a community. So once you have your mind set on an idea and you're starting to get the gears turning, you're starting to mold a plan of action, think about some of the people within your network who might be able to help you out and who might see your project as a mutually beneficial opportunity. If you're looking to bounce some ideas around, maybe you're trying to figure out where you should start, look no further than this community right here. #talkaboutit. Contact us through our email at best.bereal@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at BeRealPodcast. Slide into our DMs, comment on our posts. Let us know how this community can serve you, how we can serve each other. That's all we have for today. Thank you so much for listening. See you on the grind. Thank you.